Welcome to another edition of the Falls Cast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cold Falls, Ohio. We are recording on Monday, May 15th, a day that has proven that it's going to continue to get warmer until one random day it snows.
June 3rd. It's going to snow.
Oh, okay.
Calling it. All right. Calling it.
Okay. And did you say Monday? We're here on a Monday, not a Sunday? Oh, my God.
Monday.
We're wild and crazy.
The ticket buys a whole seat.
We decided
to. But you only need the edge. Sorry, Bart.
Oh, gosh. No.
We skipped on Sunday because it was wonderful Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers of the Falls Cast.
Yes.
To the bad mother fojos out there. I was being a good boy.
Also, a congratulations that I realized we have been doing the Falls Free Press for over 6 years now. Because
6 years?
Yeah, because Patrick just graduated college.
True.
And oh,
when
my
we started, high school. When we he started, was he was a junior in high school.
Holy
Six years? Oh, man.
It might be more or less, but I know.
That is, no, you're right. You are right. I didn't think about that. Well,
Patrick and Eliana.
So Patrick graduated from college. Our Patrick.
All grown up.
It's crazy. Congratulations, Patrick.
Boo. Boo. He's growing up means we're getting old. Boo.
Ugh. Well, Bart just said we've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah.
Shh. No.
I was so young and like innocent. 6 years ago.
Fertile. Oh, wait. Did I say that out loud?
Sad but true. Oh, menopause.
So we do have a small group today. It's just myself, Bart. We have Suzanne.
Hello.
And we have Michael.
Do we?
Unfortunately.
Do we?
Kathy, Jen, and Steven are at the gym.
Get their swole on. Swole's gold. Size prize. Squats. Never skip leg day.
But we're here for you guys. We would never, ever skip this to go to the gym.
Yeah, I got my 12-ounce curls going. Just saying. Keeping my round body shape there. Round is a shape.
Oh, boy.
See, if I ever say I'm at the gym, just assume it's a gym.
I'm going to assume it's a new... bar
could be
something.
A bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be going, you know, well, they had the library. So, you know, or the office. I'm at the office or I'm at the library. You know, you're not lying.
Yeah.
So I'm at the gym. 12-ounce curls, 16-ounce curls. Just say.
Just like if I ever say I'm at the bar, assume it's a taco bar.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with a taco bar.
Taco bars are great.
I could go for a taco bar right now.
Me too. That sounds good.
I want tacos.
Mm.
Street tacos. Oh, my son's got some really good tacos. Sorry.
They do.
Very ADD, but we got the, well, I got the, what, the tuna tacos.
You did the acai, what is it? The, how was it called?
Ahi.
Ahi. Yeah, tuna. And I got the shrimp tacos.
Delicious.
It was really good.
On this episode, we have an interview at the end of our show with Ellen and Carl Sobosinski, area representatives for the Green Heart Exchange Program. They were here, they were on the show about 15 episodes ago.
It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. They are currently looking to place 4 students in the area who've received scholarships to come study over here for a year, and they're looking for host families. So they're going to talk about the program and let you know what you need to do to be a host family.
That's great. I mean, that's a great program.
Unless they're xenomorphs, then you don't want to be a host for them.
No.
Just saying. Suzanne has no idea what that
is.
That
came right out of the, right out from left field there.
I'm very random today. Alien movies, babe.
I don't know anything.
It was called a xenomorph. You know, the creature in the chest.
Oh, the thing that came out was like, ah!
Yes,
I know, okay,
yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yep.
Alien, you know, that's,
Yes, okay.
Bad joke. Yeah. Sorry, it's reaching. It's Monday. Brings it back.
Be sure to check out our website where we have all the podcast episodes if you ever want to look back at them.
Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't?
But also we have our city council minutes and other articles that I am not writing right now.
None of us are.
Articles? Writing? Ew. Writing's bad.
But if you want to write an article for us or volunteer with the paper or the podcast, or just tell us what you think of what we're doing, you can send your comments to us to our email address.
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
And I noticed that somebody commented that they sent us an email earlier this morning about a show that's happening later on this month. So
fantastic.
Gonna make sure to check that out.
Yeah.
Also, something new. If you've noticed in the podcast, after our opening discussion, I usually throw in a little song, usually at Cuyahoga Falls or from Cuyahoga Falls.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a local band who'd like your music featured on the show, you can email us, let us know, send us, you know, a clip or, you know, a file of one of your songs that you'd like featured, and we can get it into the show and, you know, feature more local artists.
That's a great idea, pretty Bart. Cool. Yeah.
Fresh local bumper music, if you will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's great to hear the Muppets or the Ohio Polka or
yes,
even
I love that.
Or even Brat.
Stupid question. Do you know the name of the two old men in the booth? The old
is
Muppets?
Stadler and Waldorf.
Yes.
So oh, wow.
Do you know what they're named after?
Other than Waldorf, I know it's a salad.
The hotels. There are two hotels in
that's
right,
New York
yeah. City. Boo! Boo! I hate it! Boo!
This has been Dumb Facts by Michael Searle.
That's what I'm good for. Stupid facts. Useless trivia.
Yep.
But, you know, we want to get more local coverage and, you know, also something that we have the rights to use.
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah. But no, I think that's a great idea.
I think it's awesome.
So, do we have anything else to talk about before we run into the roundtable?
No, let's run. Well,
run. I prefer to sidle.
I like to stroll.
Sachet.
A sachet, if you will.
So last week, the executive director of the Downtown Cuyahoga Falls Partnership, Kaylee Piper, was honored with two awards, the Inspiring Entrepreneur Impact Award from Entrepreneur Pathways NEO, and then later she, alongside other Downtown Cuyahoga Falls Partnership winners in different categories, won the Rookie of the Year Award at the Zenith Hospitality Award.
Ooh, yay. That's
pretty cool.
Good job.
She's good people. She's good yeah. people. Yeah,
absolutely. So congratulations, Kaylee.
Yes.
And speaking of the Downtown Cuyahoga Falls Partnership, earlier this month, they added 4 new board members.
Ooh.
So they changed things up a bit. Russ Duplain, Director of Information Technology with Summit DD, went from Vice President to President, while Heather Morrow, Director of Programs with the International Soapbox Derby, became vice president. Meanwhile, Andy Herant, director of the Falls Library, is now their secretary.
Who? Sorry, Bart.
Herant.
And other new board members include Melissa Lingell from the Sheraton, Courtney Schlebina from Commonwealth Properties, Amy Bobonic from Brudson Law Firm, and Nicole DuPont from Morty's Munchies. Are all new board members who are replacing those who've reached their limit.
Well, thank them for volunteering and really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Congratulations
so
to them.
New helping out a new look of Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah.
On Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., the annual police officers memorial service to honor those who've served and those who've fallen will be at the police memorial. Chief McDonald of the Marion Police Department will deliver the keynote address, followed by a reception at the natatorium.
Kind of curious. I mean, just why is somebody from the Marion Police Department doing a keynote? You know, it's just kind of weird.
It was. I assume they picked him for a particular reason.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a reason. He's just kind of funny.
I was wondering if, have we lost any officers recently? I don't know if we have. Maybe Marion has, and maybe that's why.
Okay. We have not lost any officers, according to the memorial webpage, recently. And in fact, the total fatalities for into 2023, it appears to be total is 42, which is down 68%. Gunfire fatalities, 19. In the cars, 9. Medical fatalities, 8. And it says other is only 6. So total overall is down almost 3/4.
And that's just in Cuyahoga Falls, or is that?
That's in Cuyahoga Falls.
Cuyahoga Falls? Okay. Yeah, good. Well, let's keep that trend going.
Yes.
Well, that should be a nice event. So it's kind of during the day for a lot of people, but if you can make it, that would be nice.
And along the same terms, the Falls Firefighter Showdown. So going from the police to the firefighters, that will happen downtown on June 2nd from 5 to 10 p.m. as firefighters around the region compete to see who's the best of the best.
Yes.
There you go, babe. Go start some fires for you.
Thank you. And maybe I can volunteer to be like a rescue victim.
Oh, yes. Perform CPR on me.
So we had this last year. I don't remember who won, right?
I don't either.
I think we did.
Did we win?
Yeah, I think we did.
Of course we won. Why wouldn't we? We're the best. So Cuyahoga Falls Library now produces customers free menstrual products such as organic pads and tampons and self-serve and flow dispensaries in the women's and family restrooms. So who named it Aunt Flo?
I was going to say, did they actually say Aunt Flo?
I believe that's the company that provided it.
Oh, really? Okay. I've actually never seen anything named Aunt Flo, but that's funny.
Heard it referred to as Aunt Flo.
Yeah. But that's great. I'm glad that they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And also, speaking of the library, the summer reading program at the library for all ages began next Friday, May 26th. The official kickoff event happens the following Friday, June 2nd, with journal decorating and painting classes for kids, and on Saturday, summer story times outside, a tie-dye station, and a special concert by Rubber City Ukes. So
I want to go play in the tie-dye station.
Oh, me too, for sure. I mean, actually, are you going to just dive into it?
Yes.
Then maybe. Okay, cool.
I'm going to tie-dye my beard. Since I don't have any hair, so I'm just going to tie down my beard. Do like the Ultimate Warrior, start putting little rubber bands on there.
That come would all be tie-dyed. Something to see. Maybe we can get Steven to come and take some pictures.
Then go down to the tiki bar afterwards. Be like, what the?
We probably should go there first. A little liquid courage.
Little column A, column B.
Yeah. Just saying. Maybe before and after.
An ordinance was passed at last week's council meeting to change the name of parts of Portage Trail. It's kind of mind-numbing boring, but now Portage Trail East is becoming East Portage Trail, and Portage Trail Extension West is now West Portage Trail.
Yes.
So this is going to help with the safety forces once the new dispatch center opens up, so it'll prevent confusion across different cities.
Yeah, you were talking about that before we jumped on.
Yeah, we used to, that was back when, back in my day, back at the pizza shop. We used to always not get in arguments or whatever, but, what we know as Portage Trail is technically West Portage Trail. And everyone would be like, no, West Portage Trail is the hill going down to Akron. I'm like, no, technically that's West Extension, It was always, even with some of the drivers I had, it's like, well, we have an actual surveyed map up on the wall and it says West Portage Trail for Portage Trail. It's like, let's go check it out. We're like, no, that's Portage Trail. No, that's West Portage Trail. But no, it makes sense. I mean,
yeah, you can see why that's confusing. So that would be good. Yeah, we definitely do not want to have any kind of delay with our emergency service personnel. So,
which I don't remember. When is that new dispatch center supposed to open? That should be relatively soon, isn't it?
When I was writing this, I was kind of wondering that myself. But because it's one of the new cameras, I thought they were all sort of rolling out around the same time.
Yeah, because I remember, with the summit.
So too.
DD coming over here, I thought they were going to move in over where they used to be, I don't know if it was like the Weaver School and Workshop or whatever, if they were moving into that facility or if their buildings, I know it's around there, but I don't remember if they were demoing that and doing a whole new thing.
But I feel like they were doing, was it a whole new building or?
I don't remember. I mean, I know we talked about it. What, like
we did
two years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while. 2 years ago.
I think it was during COVID. So
it was.
COVID is an over, man.
Oh, geez.
Well, according to the government, COVID's over now.
I know somebody that just got it, but it's, you know, it's better now because they have, you know,
it's science. It's reached endemicity. So it'll be normal now.
So information that Suzanne just pointed out to me that
breaking news.
Yes. The mayor shared on Facebook earlier today. We often refer to it as Rex's erection.
Yes. 434 feet of greatness.
Oh, if you've ever heard that name, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Thing in Cuyahoga Falls.
Yep.
So apparently another famous monument, the Calgary Tower in Alberta, shaped
Canada,
Yeah. Our tower was built in 1971, modeled after theirs, that was built just a few years before. Except the base on ours is slightly taller.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because we're America.
Apparently, the Calgary Tower is a popular tourist attraction with a revolving restaurant and observation area at top, with another restaurant at the base.
I say I remember going as a kid up to Canada with my grandma and family and stuff, and we actually ate at the Skyline Tower, which, you know, was pretty much the same thing, you know, revolving restaurant and all that. It was pretty cool, you know, and you don't really notice it, you know, that it's moving. The only thing I hated were the elevators on the outside. So it was, it's like 500 feet or something like that, or maybe 300 or something like that. And it was scary as hell when you're like, you know, nine.
I remember going to the CN Tower, and that was, you know, that's taller than that, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know how tall that one is.
So, yeah, if you've ever wondered why we have that, well, we're not the only one.
We are not.
It was so you could dine closer to God.
God is everywhere.
Is he?
No.
Is it? Can't genderfy.
Also, we did go to that, I think I was telling you, the water department thing.
So, yeah, we went to the new program the city's doing, the gear up thing, was at the water department, which was actually, but what, hour and a half?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I think it's what, one of six, if I remember right. Pretty much one every month. Pretty cool where you get to go and actually see kind of what the city does in the background, behind the scenes. And it's the day-to-day stuff we take for granted that no one knows about until something's not working and they want to complain about it. Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, and if everything's running perfect or everything's running the way it should, no one's going to bitch about it, you know, but it was kind of cool to see the how and why, the behind the scenes of what they actually do, you know, and the amount of work and dedication that goes into keeping our city running, you know. And it was actually a pretty cool event. You know, you got to meet some of the, you know, I'm not going to say directors is the wrong word, but the managers and the higher ups in those facilities, and they got to discuss about what they enjoy doing and what they do on a day to day, you know, the good, the bad, you know, and suggestions on what not to do, like putting a mop head down a sewer,
which happened,
which was interesting, and seeing the amount of damage it does to a sewer ejection, you know, pump. And like we were sitting there, I was like, how the hell did you, you know, it wasn't a storm sewer. I could see like a storm drain or a storm sewer, you know, on the street, you know, possibly getting a mop head or some trash in it, you know, but I'm like, how did somebody get a full mop head in the sewer?
Yeah.
You
know, it's I don't know. There's there's a way.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, you know, and got to meet some people and, you know, hang out with some people and see how everything works. And it was for kids, everything up to, you know, old people like me. And, you know, we're going to be, well, at least I'm going to be checking out the rest of them. I don't know if Suzanne is, but, you know.
Yeah.
I forget what the next department is. If I like you or not,
I might hang with you.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's like you get to do the police department, the fire department. I forget all of the different places.
Yeah, there was electric department.
Electric department.
Police, fire. I think Parks and Rec was one.
The Parks Department is next month.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be on June 29th.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of cool to see all the background of the, I won't say the how and the why, but, you know, it's the behind the scenes on how all this works.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool. There's still time to, I don't know if there's still spots. I know you had to go and reserve spots for it. It's free.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was limited to 50 people per event, and every adult's allowed to bring 2 children. They had water and, you know, cookies and, you know, some tips.
The mayor was there, and he spoke at first, and, yeah. Nice.
As of right now, as we're recording, there are 3 spots available for the Parks Department one.
Oh, go get them. Go get them. Yeah, no, I'd highly recommend it. Anybody that's interested in, you know, the behind the scenes of what takes a city to run. I mean, you got to respect the men and women that are out there doing the things that we take it for granted. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool. Like, well, there were 18 wells, you know, over by Waterworks. There's 350, I think it was, or 375 miles of supply line, 150 or 175 miles of sewer. You know, just the amount of, I don't want to say logistics behind it, but just everything that goes day to day, you know, like, what was it, 3 water towers and 5 storage tanks or something like that, you know?
Wow.
And like, roughly 5 million gallons of water a day, and I think is what we produce and use or whatever. I mean, even other little things like I didn't even think about or know about that someone was required by the, it wasn't EPA, but it was required where we have to have lines going to Akron and who was it on Kent, I think it was, where it's, we have interconnectivity in case like they lose their water, we can supplant theirs or supplement theirs, and vice versa. If we have an issue, they can divert water to us. You know, which I didn't know we did that. So
something interesting that I somebody asked a question about how we are known for having hard water in Cuyahoga Falls. And the I'm not sure who it was that was talking about it, that they are hoping to reduce some of the hardness.
Yes.
Of it.
I can't remember his name. Crap.
I know. I should have wrote down names.
Yeah. He was one of the he was the first one talking. He was one of the engineers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like they. You know, you can't have zero hardness in your water because it will corrode your pipes. So it's like you need some of the minerals in there or else your pipes will just not dissolve, but they'll corrode. Mm-hmm. So they supplement the hardness. I mean, they it was interesting to hear that. Yeah, they pull everything out from the wells, the 18 wells. They process it. They remove a lot of the minerals, but then they add minerals back in, or they blend it back in to provide enough to bring the hardness up. So we're not, you know, having infrastructure problems with, you know, the pipes corroding away. But they said, like, what was it, 140 grains or parts per million was like an accepted value or whatever. But they were looking at, you know, bringing ours down to, what was it, 70 parts per million? Something like that. I mean,
I don't remember.
It was much lower. It was like, on the other terms, it was like, you know, like the EPA uses this measurement. We, you know, the processors use a different measurement, but like theirs was 0.4% and they're looking to bring it down to like 0.2, you know, so it would be a little less calcium, a little less stuff to, you know, sit in your hot water tank, you know, and make your water so hard. But, you know, it was just interesting. Or even, you know, where chlorine is added, where the fluoride is added, you know, all these things. And just kind of cool to see how everything works in that respect. And then, of course, they talked about, you know, the aging infrastructure and, you know, when we have, you know, the climate change and when, you know, the ground's moving and stuff, why water mains break and how big the water mains could be, you know, and going anywhere from 4-inch all the way up to, I think it was 22-inch, you know, and it was just all around kind of cool. But I like the infrastructure stuff, like kind of like that. I want to know how stuff works. So, but it was pretty cool.
I'm curious how the other ones will go then.
I think it'll be pretty cool. I mean, if it runs like this one did, I think it'll be pretty good, you know?
It looks like there are openings. There aren't many, but there are still openings for all of the other events over the next months.
Yeah, we did see like a lot of, like when I was signing up, I think I did before Suzanne did, there were a lot of like the police and fire ones kind of filled up pretty quick. You know, those are more of the popular ones. You know, no one really wants, not to say no one cares about the water, but no one wants to see, ooh, how we get our water. Ooh, how is the sewer and sanitation work? You know, ooh, how is
we it? Did.
That's the sexy stuff, you know. I want to play with the fire truck, you know. But no, it was cool. I mean, even to see like, you know, the vac trucks and, you know, some of the equipment they use day to day, or even some of the stuff that, you know, you never even thought of. You know, just simple things you take for granted because we're so used to seeing it, you know, and it's just, we don't.
Well, you got to learn just like some simple tips of like what happens when it's, there's a water advisory versus a water. What was the other word for it? He was like trying to explain it like with a tornado watch versus warning.
Boil alert versus an advisory versus or something like
advisory,
that.
Yeah, something like that. And
kind
that
of tornado watch, tornado warning.
Mm-hmm. And that they are required to put out the advisory whenever they are like flushing the lines or doing something with the lines. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with the water. And they were saying that's very, very rare to have like an alert. And then that becomes like, oh yeah, you definitely like, I guess what happens is like they will put the advisory out. They test the water before they do what they need to do. And then after they do fixing or doing whatever they have to do, they test it again. So you have that advisory the whole time. And then if something is tested in the water that shouldn't be in the water, then they'll put the alert out. And that's when something actually is in the water that we should be, you know, aware of. So, I mean, I don't remember ever seeing like an alert, but I have seen those advisories around and wondering, oh, is it, what's going on? And, you know, sometimes you see the little bit of a brown water in there and that's when they're flushing the lines. And, you know, so it was, I don't know, it was kind of interesting.
I think there might've been one time I can vaguely remember of seeing an alert, and that was when they had on Porter's Trail and like second to front when those water mains went, because those were really old. They were, you know, some of the larger supply lines. I think that was the only time, and it wasn't even really up here, but I think that was the only time I remember seeing like an actual alert, because they said normally like when they're replacing a main, well, they don't, technically they don't replace the mains, I guess they just pretty much put a clamp around it, you know, they patch it, but a lot easier than replacing. But I think, well, from what they were saying, most times when they're doing a patch or doing a lot of the work, it's still under pressure. So the lines always has water in it. It's still under pressure, but a lot of times they'll relieve or reduce the pressure a little bit, but it's still under pressure. So that's why you get the advisories, because you still have water flowing through it. Bacteria and stuff can't get in through that crack or in through the break. But sometimes, like in that one, it's they have to shut the water off, you know, in order to replace a section or do whatever. And then that's when you get the alerts, because pressure has been lost. You know, the chlorine flowing through the line has been lost, and it's just better to be safe, you know, and you have to do it. So it was kind of cool, though.
It was really cool. Yep. Now that we have officially bored all of our listeners, guess what time it is? Bart's Arts. Nah, that wasn't very good. That's
sorry,
right.
Steven. Yeah. I tried.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tried. I was waiting for Bart to rock it out.
One of these days we might get him to do it.
No, I'm not. I don't think that much of myself. So the Tiki Flea is happening this Saturday.
Yay!
Yes, the Tiki Flea is this weekend. It is the 12th one so far.
Wow.
It was cool last year.
Second time it is in their new location, though, right?
Actually, no, it's the third.
Did they have, really?
Yeah.
I think it is because, the first one happened, I think, during COVID, but they weren't in that new location yet, were they?
They hadn't opened yet.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, they had it, but they hadn't opened. Maybe that's what it was.
Hmm.
And then last year, because didn't we do Butcher and Sprout last year and do like the breakfast?
Yeah,
the
that quote was unquote last year,
Christmas
it?
Exchange. Yeah, it was Christmas exchange.
Oh, the Christmas exchange in June.
In June.
And there's been one since then.
Okay.
So right now, I know they're still I don't know if they're still working on it or they finally finished it up, but the patio should be open this weekend.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen some pictures.
Let's just say there's a plane.
There is a plane.
Fuselage on site.
But the Tiki Underground will have special drinks, special cocktails for the event. And then really music nonstop from noon to 6. And
be sure
to go check it out.
There's some finds that you can purchase.
The half a page of the different people who will be there selling. You know, a lot of new ones, too. So it looks like Sense by the False is going to be there.
Ooh. Well, they're right there. Yeah, so.
I wonder what will they be selling their candle? I wonder what they're going to be selling.
I would assume candles, yes.
Will Lily be there with her plants? Because wasn't she a bartender at Tiki Underground? I think she is, yeah. I don't know if she still is, but.
Oh, darn. Does that mean I have to go buy more plants?
Yes. Is there beer down there? There was last year. You sold me a beer. You had me a beer.
So I can go look at the plants. You can go drink the beer.
Yes. I wonder.
Perfect.
I wonder if Beeve and Randall will be there. wonder if they'll be down there next year. Because they were there last year.
Who knows? Probably not, since they saw that you were there.
Yeah, that's true. They might not be.
Next, the short documentary Valley View, Restoring the Missing Link, about the Sub and Metro Parks and the years-long effort to restore the Valley View area of Cascade Valley, has been nominated for an NATA's Lower Great Lakes Chapter Emmy Award.
Say that five times fast.
But so, you know, next month will be the ceremony for that. But, you know, the Summit Metro Parks, great
congratulations.
Area.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's cool. Fingers crossed they win.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And finally, the Falls Downtown Fridays are coming up in just 1 month.
Yay!
So quick.
Oh.
So they've got artists like Big Pop, Barkley Shannon, Carlos Jones is coming back in August.
Okay.
They got Roxy Moron.
Who? I'm kidding. I like Roxy Moron.
So yeah, starting on June 16th, be the first week.
Awesome.
And then with that, the Irish Fest is coming up. So.
Oh my god.
So I'm kind of curious when the Dora takes effect. I mean, I know they'll close it for special events, but will Dora be open for the Falls Fridays? I mean, I get the Irish Fest and stuff.
Does Falls Fridays sell beer?
Don't know.
Actually, I think they do, so they might not, because isn't it? It's only when we're not having some kind of festival that Dora.
It doesn't already involve a liquor license.
You can already walk around downtown with a beer with a festival, so you don't really need to have.
Yeah, that's true.
And you should be purchasing from the festival, not.
But I'm also wondering too. Okay, so this is something I don't remember, which I'm sure was laid out in the thing. So I know they can shut down the Dora at any time due to special events and whatnot because the special permitting. But is it the whole Dora or just certain sections? Because like I know usually between Porter's Trail and Broad was where they did the festival, you're allowed to walk around Drake Open Container. But would Dora still be active in the rest, like south of Broad?
You know what? I'm not going to say for sure, but
I don't remember.
I thought I read that when there was a festival going on that Dora would not
discontinue the Dora.
Yes, and I think that means for everything.
For everything, yeah.
If we're wrong, let us know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure one of our listeners knows and will let us know.
So we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. Thank Ellen and Carl for speaking with us. So stick around for that interview right after this.
Yes.
Remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, for articles. If you are a local band or singer who wants to hear your music on the Falls Cast.
I just want to say that do not be intimidated by my beautiful voice and the Bart's Art song.
It's
because
true.
Not all of us can be as talented.
It's very true.
I am. I know. True. It might scare people away is what I'm saying.
That's the reason why no one has submitted.
Oh,
ever.
Man. It's true. I am.
It's because of those dulcet tones.
sorry, Bart.
But remember, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on Facebook, but you can also get a hold of us via our email address.
FallsFreePress@gmail.com.
So be sure to do all that. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed what you heard. And for now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next time.
Goodbye.
Later.
This week, we have Carl Sobizinski, an area representative from the Green Heart Exchange Program for foreign exchange students. Carl, thank you for being on the show this week.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to reach out in these local ways. This is not quite cutting edge technology. These have been around for a while, but for us, it's new. I went to school, I had this thing called a typewriter. So computers.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, Green Heart Exchange, we're what's called local coordinators. Ellen and I do this jointly. The idea is if one of us can't be there for something, the other one can. We're quite involved with the students. We'll get to that more in a moment. But Green Heart does a lot of things, such as sending American students abroad, bringing international teachers to American schools. But mostly, we are a placement agency for students from around the world. High school age students, we place students in local families and schools. And we facilitate these processes and ensure compliance with State Department regulations. The State Department has an entire section dealing with, I believe, cultural exchange is how they put it. The average person might call it soft diplomacy. And we have to help pass a test every year with the State Department to make sure we are compliant. Things like, well, the student's family has to meet certain criteria. They have to have a proper bed to sleep in. We have to take pictures. We give our evaluation. Would we place a student here? So there's, of course, quite a lot we do with that. We primarily work with students on State Department scholarship programs. Our State Department has a long history of doing this. So one of the first was over 120 years ago with China, a series of scholarships to bring Chinese students to America. And the idea is for them to go back to their home countries and improve things. Some of the Chinese scholarship recipients went on to be influential reformers and modernizers. Likewise, our scholarship programs are designed to show young people the best of America while acquiring other skills they can use to improve their country's skills and experiences they can take home, such as learning the American democratic process, community involvement, volunteering, community service is one of the requirements, getting familiar with the American education system. Many of them want to come back to university in America. Actually, the boy we mentioned earlier, Salim Saba, who went to Talmadge High School, he wants to come back to America for university. More on that when we get there. Of course, American culture and perfecting their English, which is usually pretty good when they arrive. The scholarship programs, one of them, it's the older one, it's called FLEX, which stands for Future Leaders Exchange, and it was created after the Soviet Union collapsed some 30-plus years ago. And the students are from the former Soviet republics that are now independent countries, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. We've had students from, we've either had them or known students from all of these places. We had a Ukrainian student a few years ago, along with some of the old Eastern Bloc countries like Poland, the old Czech Republic, Latvia, Lithuania. It's all part of cultural exchange, but it's also part of American national policy, which can be a little exciting to think about. The intent is that we instill American democratic values into their societies to make a better world, was the whole intention of it. And students must go back to their home countries for at least 2 years after completing the FLEX program.
So in other words, like they can't come over as like a senior in high school and then try to come back over for college right after.
Not right away. They can't just stay. They have to go back home for 2 years. Many of them end up working for the program. They'll work with our State Department in promoting the program and recruiting other FLEX applicants. Many times they help administer the application process. Yeah, which is quite extensive. Well, they look at your academic record, of course. There are several levels of interviews they put you through. And by the percentage of those accepted is lower than for people getting accepted into Harvard.
Oh, wow.
You end up with some very motivated, very capable, energetic students that can be hard to slow down sometimes. They want to do everything. Jenya from Ukraine did everything conceivable. We could make a long list of that. Another scholarship program, a little more recent, largely for the Middle East, is called Youth Exchange and Study, YES, sometimes called Kennedy Lugar for the senators who sponsored it. It's more recent, created in 2001 as an attempt to improve American relations by bringing students to the United States. The requirements are very similar to FLEX. Community service, observing the American democratic process. For example, one of the things our students in the past have done was visiting the state house in Columbus and talking to a state representative. Other things that can fulfill requirements would be like attending a city council meeting. We have brought them to school board meetings. That's part of the American democratic process. And again, they have to go back to their countries for 2 years before they can return to the States. By the time they make their selections, you've got some top students. Many of them speak several languages. We mentioned the boy we had a year ago spoke four languages, which I cannot but admire. The great challenge we have, though, is finding families. That's the first step in the process, families and schools. We've already been talking to many local schools who have agreed to work with us. But right now we're looking for families in the local area, such as Cuyahoga Falls, Hudson, Streetsboro, Stowe, Monroe Falls, whatever other local schools you may think of. And I want to give an overview of some of the students we work with. These are good examples of the young people who apply and get approved. Most of our students come from modest backgrounds. Their parents are frequently ordinary working people. And it's quite an achievement to be selected for one of these programs and would be tragic for them to lose it for lack of family. And that's the first hurdle is to find good host families. One lady is named Reski from Indonesia. She's quite musical, does various forms of traditional dance, plays a guitar. And in her words, With dancing and singing, I can express my emotions and feelings. Another lady is named Aruna from Kazakhstan on a Flex scholarship. Kazakhstan was part of the old Soviet Union. She's also quite musical, practices traditional dance, and is very involved in her school's music programs. She said she loves dancing because it keeps me positive and upbeat, in her words. She also likes K-pop, which we find interesting around the world. Students, we have a student from Mongolia who really is interested in Korea. She also likes, she's rather creative, likes making things in ceramic and crochet. Another example, incidentally, these students, the families can look at what students they'd like to host. It's not a random, you get what you get. They can look through the student profiles, decide who might be the best fit for the family. Some students have dietary requirements. Some may have health issues. But this family, it's not simply a random, you get a student with no input. The family is very involved in the process.
Well, and that's good, because for a year, they're going to be a part of the family.
Oh, yeah, it's quite an adjustment. I can't imagine, I've traveled a lot in my life. I can't imagine doing that when I was 15, like some of our students do. That would have been unimaginable when I was 15. I mean, it was enough of a challenge in my 40s when I went overseas for several years.
Yeah.
A couple boys that we found on the database, a guy named Alijan from Tajikistan. In addition to English, they all speak good English, but most of them have studied other languages. He studied Russian for several years. He enjoys English and reading in general, and he's quite athletic. Most of them play soccer. We only call it soccer in America. The rest of the world calls it football.
Which is what it's called.
Yeah, which our game started out as the same game. It just evolved into whatever it is now. He hopes to do it in America. He wants to have as much fun experiencing America as he can with his host family, and there's certainly plenty of opportunities around here in Ohio. Finally, there's Ufuk from Korea, from Turkey. Why do I keep saying Korea? I'm thinking Korea. He's on the YES program. He studied German in addition to English. Actually, there's old German ties in Turkey going back about 150 years. You want to stretch it out. He's very much into science. He particularly enjoys chemistry. For sports, he prefers things like archery and cycling, but he very much would like to get involved in whatever science programs schools would have. Any of these students would be a tremendous addition to any of our local schools. In addition to their individual talents, they bring their international experiences, their languages, their perspectives, details about their countries and cultures that you only learn if you meet somebody from that country or go visit it yourself. And they're not here simply they want to have as much fun as they can. And many of them, again, they're hard to slow down sometimes. But they have a lot of requirements and are very deeply involved in their schools while they're here. They have to do presentations on their countries. They have to shadow local civic leaders or businessmen or business leaders. They have to do not just activities, but what we call enhanced activities. Many times we'll go to some historic site and I'll give a history lesson on it as enhanced activities instead of simply doing something for fun. Of course, I think they're all fun. And at least 50 hours of community service. They're here to contribute to the local culture, local society. They're here to observe the local governmental process. And again, the idea is that they go back to their home countries and use these experiences to improve and contribute to the advancement of their home nations. And we're part of this process. We are very involved in it. We often take them, we follow up to make sure they're doing the activities. Well, we're required to do that with them. We frequently go on short trips. Columbus was one we did. There's others we might do. I have often taken students to the colleges where I was teaching. They visit class, and we count that as some of their scholarship requirement. So they're very involved in things, and we're part of the process. We don't simply drop a student off in a family in the school and say goodbye. We'll pick you up when you go to the airport. We're very much involved. We have to maintain regular contact and in-person involvement. So it's quite an extensive package, and you get some fantastic kids out of it.
Do you often, in addition to the students you're placing here, do you often have Americans who are looking to go off?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There are opportunities for Americans to go study abroad. And there's a number of them, semester programs, full-year programs. There are also shorter programs for, like, say, a summer language camp, depending on what language they may be studying. So the opportunities are there. Also scholarships. There are scholarships available for Americans to apply to study abroad.
Yeah. the idea of studying abroad is one thing, but it's being able to afford it.
Yes. Yeah, that's why the shorter ones are nice, because a homestay for a few weeks or a summer program, I wish I could have done that as a language student when I was in high school. It would have been priceless. It was my junior year of college before I ever went anywhere. And that took all we had to do just that. Yeah, 6-week programs. There's a lot of opportunity there. And we offer more of these broader opportunities of programs than most other agencies.
Now, for anybody who is listening to this and wants to try to host a family, how do they reach out to the program for the process to be started?
Well, our contact information is on the promotional things that we leave places. When we go to a school board meeting, we give school officials an information package. They can email us and we can guide them through the process. But the big thing they need to do is go online and start the online application once we're assigned as coordinators. Yeah. Our Greenheart, I did send you the email. Yeah.
So it's at greenheartexchange.org.
Yes. And on there, you can click on whatever pages they have on there. And then our own Facebook page and our own email, ghestudents23@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's our personal email address. You'll contact us personally with that one, and that can get the process started. They can start the online application, and we can enter information from our end on their big database and go from there. It would involve making a visit to the home. We have to personally see it. We would take pictures. We have to submit all of these things as part of the documentation process. Interview. It essentially amounts to talking to the family about why do you want to host? What are your motives for doing this? How other people in the family feel about it? And then we submit all of that online, and it goes up to higher authority to review. And if they want more information, they contact us. But in most cases, it goes through from there. We have to also interview references they have to submit. It involves a background check also. So it's pretty extensive, and it's all part of State Department requirements. We have certain procedures we absolutely have to follow, and all of those are part of it.
Well, perfect. So if there's a family out there who's interested in hosting a student, then they should definitely go to Greenheart Exchange and start the process and email you guys. The school year is almost over, which means another school year is just about to begin.
Yes. That's our concern is that time is running out. We're afraid these great students who have already received a scholarship may lose their opportunity for lack of family. And that's where we're looking right now, is to get the process moving, recruit families, and get the students placed. So we can get them in for the upcoming school year. Schools start earlier and earlier, too. You notice that?
They are, yeah.
It used to start when I was a student, usually the last week in August, sometimes not till after Labor Day. Now it's like the middle of August.
Well, and it's starting earlier, but I think part of that is every year that we keep it winding up with so many calamity days.
Oh, we're
trying to prepare for that.
Yeah, like, we haven't had too many lately.
School's over like next week.
Yeah.
It just came and went.
Mm-hmm. That's why we want to get moving on this as soon as we can, because it can be hard to get hold of school people in the summer.
So everyone check that out. And Carl, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having us.
And I will be sure to promote this everywhere so that, you know, people who want to have a chance will.
Okay, great. Thank you for having us.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.